Whereas romanticism was about emotion, realism was about logic. Consider the sitcom The Big Bang Theory. Two characters, for much of the show's run, live in the same apartment. One is logical and makes decisions based on eliminating as much emotion as possible. The other is emotional and makes decisions based less on logic and more on how he feels about things. Sheldon, the logical one, tends to react to Leonard, the emotional one, and in many ways, Leonard serves as the impetus for Sheldon's growth and interaction with new ideas and concepts beyond his narrower focus of interest. In many ways, this could be a crude illustration of the relationship between romanticism and realism. Whereas romanticism was an emotional reaction to the non-reality-based logic and duty of the neoclassicist, not unlike Leonard's emotional response to his analytical mother. Once romanticism gained momentum, the emotional indulgence of the genre was seen as too decadent and self-serving for some artists. In reaction to the emotional play of romanticism that seemed to increasingly turn inward, the realists rejected the inward gaze and made a declaration to depict the reality of life without the dynamic and manipulative use of emotion. The realists believed it was their duty to mirror the world back to the viewer and to not allow the viewer to hide in an exotic and escapist fantasy. The realists were not interested in diving into metaphors of the classical era to express grandiose philosophies of noble simplicity and calm grandeur. Nor were they interested in theatrics and self-satisfaction. The realists wanted viewers to be presented with a social reality that they could not ignore. They wanted to smack the public in the face with the plight and existence of others. However, these two art movements were roommates, so to speak, in the same house at the same time and were the opposites needed to balance the whole. They occurred at the same time in France and reacted to each other in the salons. It could be argued that Leonard, from The Big Bang Theory, could have functioned relatively fine and lived a fairly full and normal life without Sheldon. However, the same might not be so successfully argued regarding Sheldon in the absence of Leonard. The aggravation of Leonard's perpetually emotional existence aggravated Sheldon enough to create impetus for change, however reluctantly, especially in the beginning. Thus, it was with romanticism and realism. Romanticism existed before realism and could have continued to flourish without realism, but realism was aggravated into development by the emotional and dramatic existence of romanticism, eventually eclipsing its emotional counterpart in popularity and evolution. There is a genre of painting that can sometimes be mistaken for realism, mostly because its artists always say their work show reality, but really it's not realism, because then it would have been rejected from the very institution that created it, because it believed the present moment was not heroic enough to demand valued attention. The genre is academic painting, and it's a genre that's rarely talked about too in depth in art history texts. At least, if it is talked about, they don't mention it as an academic, because academic painting and its privileged artists just isn't where it's at these days. Art history tends to tell the story of the spunky, if not at least slightly dysfunctional, underdogs of art. But in telling these stories, it often makes them big and showy and attention-grabbing by virtue of their conflict-driven storylines. Academic art had less conflict, at least on the surface. The academic artists' fight weren't against the mainstream art culture, so their conflicts seemed petty and individualistic by comparison. And the artists of the academy didn't seem to function on the outskirts of the societal norm, so at first glance, they were not plagued by the same foibles of the anti-establishment artists of the day. I say at first glance, because almost anyone upon closer inspection shows signs of dysfunction and drama. But don't let the present-day silence around the academic art of the 1800s fool you. They were the big dogs of their time. An academic painter who could swear he only painted historical reality, in fact, he said accuracy was the highest importance to him, was Paul Delaroche. Closer scrutiny of Delaroche shows two things. Facts maybe weren't the most important thing to him, as he may have stated, and he had his own secrets. Let's start with the secrets that probably weren't so secret. Paul Delaroche was not the name that Delaroche was born with. His original name was Hippolyte Delaroche, as in De La Roche. If you have recently read or watched Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream, or if you're up on your Greek mythology, you may recognize the name Hippolyte, also called Hippolyta. She features in Greek myth as the Queen of the Amazons and also made her way to the big screen in 2017 in Wonder Woman. Hippolyte, while a female name in Greek myth and in the DC comic universe, was an acceptable male name in France at this time, and Hippolyte de La Roche shared the moniker, at least partially, with his father. However, Hippolyte de La Roche didn't seem to like it all that much and changed his name to the diminutive Paul. He also changed the arrangement of his last name from de La Roche to de La Roche, which may or may not have been a good idea because de La Roche means the rock in French. So Paul the Rock de La Roche became an academic painter fairly early in his artistic career, exhibiting his historical paintings in the yearly salon and eventually scoring a coveted lifetime membership in the academy. He felt that the accuracy was his highest calling and prided himself on researching details of fashion and environment for his paintings. However, the critical eye of history has come to see that Delaroche took artistic liberties in ways that have no excuse if the artist is sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help them.